Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. So obviously in this series, we've been talking about community. We've been talking about really connecting and just the importance of fully connecting to the community of faith, to really connecting with the community of God, to coming to church, to being here, to connecting with people even more than kind of just coming and sitting and leaving. Right. But really coming and saying, hey, you know what? There's some people that I want to connect with you. I want to know you. I want you to know me. Man, I want to be in a place where I can begin to do some things and people, I can use my gifts and talents to do what God's called me to do so I can begin to really experience him. Right. It's because we believe that there are blessings that are attached to community. There are blessings that happen when you connect with somebody else. If you're by yourself, it's really hard to begin to really explore what it is about you because you only see yourself, right? It's like trying to have a relationship with a mirror. It's just you, right? And you're looking back and you're talking to the person. I caught my daughter Rachel the other day. We have a mirror in the house, and I was holding her up, and she was talking to the mirror because she thought the other person was going to say something back, which was her. Right? She didn't understand, but it in that moment just reminded me of sometimes we do that. It's like we're talking to a mirror. We're talking to ourselves, expecting that, man, there's something's going to happen. There's going to be change. But no, it happens when we interact with other people. That's why we need to be in community. We've been saying all along, man, community is life. That it's life that comes from it, and that, man, you don't have to be by yourself. A lot of people that we saw this week, people commit suicide, famous people who, in our minds, we're like, man, you have everything going for you, right? You've got millions and millions of dollars. You got TV shows, and, you own your own company, and we would think that, man, everything is great, that, man, everything is wonderful, but it goes to show you that even with all this material stuff that we place value on, that there's still something more that people are looking for. They're looking for somebody that can really get to know them and somebody that they can really get to know, where they can find, man, what is it about me that is special? What is it about me that I'm supposed to do in this life? But if we never do that, then we begin to lose people. We begin to lose people. And I don't want to lose. Man, I'm so tired of losing people for not frivolous reasons, but for reasons that are not connected to God. That aren't connected to stuff that of old age, right? I don't want to be super old, but I want to go when I'm old, right? I want to have a couple, maybe grandkids. We'll see. We have a couple grandkids running around. That's far, far away, 30, 40, 50 years away, right? When we get to that point, I want to get there. But, man, I don't want to get there too early. I don't want to get there too soon. So many tragic stories we've heard, even in our city this year, of people just being lost. And we see people around us that are just lost in our lives, and it's like, man, I really feel like it's on us to begin to reach out and say, man, look, I know a savior. Man, I know somebody that can change your life. Man, I know some people, they're kind of crazy, but they're fun, and you love to hang out with them. Come meet on Sunday. They give you donuts every week. I don't know why, but they show up with donuts. They got sprinkles on them, too. You should come. But I'm saying, man, like, it's on us to bring people in and connect them to what God's trying to do. It's on us. It's our responsibility. I don't want people to suffer alone. I'm so tired of people isolating themselves and kind of being in situations. But when you can really begin to live out your purpose, people can begin to live out their dreams as we're connected with our purpose and the promises that God has for all of us. And so we've been saying all in this series that, man, we go further when we go together. Man, the stuff I want to reach in my life, yeah, I can maybe get there by myself, but if I connect with somebody else, man, if I hook up with somebody else that believes in me, and maybe I'm praying for them and they're praying for me, and maybe, man, I'm encouraging them and they're encouraging me, that, you know what, maybe I'm going to get there a little bit faster. If I'm doing it by myself, there's nobody to encourage me. It's just I'm my own cheerleader. That's the worst kind of cheerleading crew, just one sad little cheerleader. That's the worst thing. I want at least two. I want somebody, if I'm on the football field, I want at least two cheerleaders cheerleading me. Just one. No, sorry. I want more than one. I want as many people on my team as I can get, as many people encouraging me, as many people that I can encourage. Let's connect and build one another up and continue to grow. And God, that's what we're looking for. We go further when we go together. If I'm looking for life, I will find it in community. I'm going to find it in the community because why? That's where life is found. We do life together. We're trying on so many levels to get you all to connect. Why? Because we want you to be a part of the crew, right? And we said the crew is this. It's a group of people who work together, right? And we know it in the context of maybe a crew works on a ship or they work on a train or they work on a boat, right? That's a crew, right? We're saying it's people that work together, but it's also, man, people that just fellowship and connect and support each other in any way that they can. How can I connect with somebody? Man, how can I support somebody? I want to do everything I can to be a part of the crew. I'm saying be a part of the crew. Please connect with the crew. And what is it? We said all along, man, the crew is this. It's a community that is ready and equipped to work. It's a community, man. It's great that we're grouped together. But more so than that, man, let's be ready and equipped to actually do some stuff. I want to accomplish some goals. I want some personal goals to be reached in my life. But I also want some goals that you have to be reached. And there's some goals that we reach together with a community that's ready and equipped to work. Here's the thing. I recognize that for some of us, the idea of connecting and interacting with people on a genuine level is tough. It's tough. It's probably because maybe you've never done it before. Maybe you don't have any, like, real friends. Like, jump in the Bronco, drive me friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't matter what's going down, I'm going to be there at the door. Like, I want some of those kind of friends. Like, I'm not going to ever do stuff like that. But if I did, I want to know that somebody's going to show up and drive me where I'm. Like, I want people that know me and love me on that level where I know that, man, they're going to do some crazy and outrageous stuff for me because they know that I would do it for them. I want community on that level. And it's not easy. Why? Because getting along with other people or living someone outside of yourself, when you've done it just for yourself, man, that's not easy to do. It's a hard transition to kind of be by yourself and then be with somebody else. I talked in a series about when I was kind of had my bachelor life for a while, and then I got married, and she jacked everything up in my life, just ruined it all. I was having so much fun, and she just came and just wrecked it. Fancy towels in the bathroom and stuff. I didn't want any of that, right? She kind of just ruined it. But it's a transition that I had to navigate. I had to go from just being by myself to now thinking about somebody else. Not just pursuing what I want to do, but saying, man, what is it that you want to pursue? What are your dreams and goals? What is it that you're reaching for? It's hard for us sometimes to make that transition to go more than kind of that surface level with people. Right, we kind of like the hey, how you doing relationships, right? It's kind of easy. You meet somebody and all you know is kind of hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm great, and you keep walking, and that's like, girl, that's my friend. Have you ever talked to him? No, but I say hey, how you doing? And that's it. We were talking about that last night, right? These people that they think they know you and you think you know them, but really all you said is hey, how you doing? That's all the conversation that you've ever had. Right? I want relationships that are beyond that level where man, I can trust them enough to reveal some stuff about myself, and they trust me enough to reveal some stuff about themselves that, man, why? So it's that we can sharpen one another, that we can grow together, that we can be community, that we can connect. And a crew, all right, this requires for us, if we're going to open up, if we're going to connect, if we're going to trust in that way, it requires a specific characteristic. This one is a tough one that we have a lot of challenge with, right? It's hard for us to display this one particular characteristic in ourselves. It's hard for us, it's a challenge for many of us to have this one particular characteristic, but I believe it's so vitally important. It's why we're ending on this one. It's so vitally important in a crew. If you're going to be in a crew, to have this one specific characteristic, all of them important, this one's super important. You want to know what it is? You want to know? You sure? You sure you want to know? I don't hear you. Do you want to know? Okay. Well, my wife's getting mad at me. She starts kicking her feet. I mean, she's upset. And this is what I'm talking about. So what we need is patience. It's patience. See how I set that up? Y'all like that, right? Yeah. It's patience. One characteristic that we need. Most of us have heard this phrase, man, patience is a virtue. Right? It's behavior that shows that we have some high moral character. right? We've heard that, but some of us don't understand, man, why is patience a virtue? Why do we consider it virtuous, right? Because it doesn't feel like, there's a lot of times I don't feel like being so virtuous. I don't feel like being patient. I don't want to be patient. I want my stuff now. I'm not the only one. Come on, don't act like I'm the only one you've ever been in line in a DMV ever. That you'll find out if you have patience or not, especially in somebody's Mississippi. Help me, Jesus. I'm praying. Whew. Yes, all over that. But, man, we see in the word patience that it's a virtue. Man, we see it in Galatians 5:22. Paul says the fact that, man, it is a fruit of the Spirit. That it's a fruit of the Spirit, something that we should have as we encounter the Holy Spirit, that patience should be something that we're developing as we're interacting with the Holy Spirit. It's a virtue. It's something that we should have and kind of possess. So, man, what is virtue? If I give you a simple definition of it, it would be this. It would be waiting without complaint. Patience is waiting without complaint. I know, that hurt me too. Waiting without complaint. But that's not even kind of a really good definition. I want to give you a better one, right? What patience really is this. It's waiting without complaint through discomfort. That's what patience really is. It's waiting without complaint through discomfort. Why do you say this? Because, man, if we're honest, when we're in a place of comfort, we don't mind waiting. Right? When you're comfortable, you don't mind waiting. It's fine. You can wait and not complain when you're comfortable. Right? And we don't mind waiting when we're comfortable, but we're normally not complaining when we're comfortable. We're not complaining. We're normally not complaining even if we are waiting, right? We're okay. What causes us, if we're honest about it, what causes us some of the greatest discomfort? When you begin to experience discomfort, that's when you start complaining. You ever notice that? When something's not comfortable for you, if something kind of makes you mad or I make you wait too long, you start kicking your feet, that's when you start complaining. That was just a little complaint. Y'all didn't know. It was a subliminal signal to me. Come on, give me the answer real quick, right? But that happens to us when we're in the DMV and they're taking forever. It's discomfort, and we'll start to complain. Man, what's taking them so long? You start talking to the person next to you. You don't know them from Adam. Man, what's taking them so long? Been in here for 2 hours. Man, I got to go to work today. Then I have to take off half a day of work just to come and get a car that should take 2 minutes. But I'm here for 2 hours, right? And you start complaining. You start getting mad. Stuff starts happening, you know, in your life. And, man, you start to feel some discomfort, and you start complaining. It gets really easy to just complain about stuff. And we start to complain. If you notice it, we complain a lot more, right? Let me show you how. Ever go on a Facebook comment section? Whoo! What happens? We feel discomfort, and then we start commenting. We start complaining online about this thing. Everything that comes up is just one more thing for us to complain about, right? We complain about, man, anything and everything that goes on leads us to a place of discomfort. But here's the thing. What causes us the most discomfort, what brings us to levels of discomfort that we can't even imagine, it's other people. Doesn't matter the situation, like situations we can kind of get through. What brings us discomfort, what makes our skin crawl is other people. Come on, can I get a witness? One, okay, I got a couple hands. All right, right, it's other people, right? It's when we start to get around other people, man, like just don't turn to your neighbor because you're probably thinking about them, right? But when you're thinking about other people, when you start to interact with other people, that's when you really feel discomfort, right? And like when you're dealing with people and their personal issues, discomfort comes, right? You deal with people and their immaturity. Oh, discomfort comes. When, man, you feel like somebody is just incompetent in some way. Oh, I know I'm not the only one on that one, right? This lets you go to a store and the person behind the register isn't doing it the way you, like, what's taking so long, right? You get irritated. There's discomfort in that moment. What happens? Let me give you some more examples, right? If somebody is a procrastinator, y'all mighty quiet today. I know I'm saying some good stuff. It's written down in here. It's really good, right? You experience some discomfort, right? Somebody has body odors. Discomfort, right? If somebody has bad habits, right? There's some discomfort. And man, look, other stuff, politics. Talk about discomfort in our country right now. Help us, Jesus, right? If somebody's just ignorant in some way, it brings discomfort. And you know what happens? Man, we start to complain. Why? It's because we're not comfortable. It's when we experience discomfort that we start to begin to complain. It's when we start to lose our patience. And so, okay, Pastor Kevin, you've named all this stuff that brings me discomfort, but you're saying I should be a part of a crew which is going to bring me around other people that are doing the stuff that are saying that you're saying is going to bring me discomfort. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Get in the crew. Get connected to people. I want you to do that. Why? It's because connecting with other people and helping them grow spiritually, that's our purpose. It's our purpose. It's our purpose in life. It's our purpose as Christians is to connect with other people, is to be around other people, as aggravating as they are, as much on their nerves as they might get to you. That's our purpose, is to continually to connect with other people, to help them to grow spiritually. That is your purpose. If you ever want to know what your purpose was as a Christian, that is it. It's to help people. It's what Jesus came to earth to do. He helped people and he helped them to grow spiritually. That's it. That is it. It's what that's our purpose. It's what he tells us to do. Right? And so connecting people, we said, man, it helps us, helping people to grow spiritually. That's our purpose. You know what it takes? It requires for us to be prepared. We talked about that in this series. It requires preparation on our part. Sometimes you have to prepare yourself if you're going to be around difficult people. You ever had to talk yourself up to go to a meeting with somebody that you don't want to meet with? Oh, y'all are being really quiet today, right? That happens, right? It requires preparation. You know what? It demands perseverance. We talked about that, man. There's going to be some storms that are going to come. There's going to be some stuff that you're going to interact where you're going to need some perseverance. You're going to need to stick through the storm. You're going to need some perseverance when it gets difficult. And we have to believe that, okay, hopefully I'm doing this for some reason and that there is a promise that's attached to it, right? I have to believe that there's a promise that's going to come with it. When people do connect with the crew, we also, man, we have to have patience. It's something that is just, it's a part of being in the crew. We have to have patience. And we can have patience because Jesus did. He had patience, so we can have patience. And we say here, we follow Jesus. It's one of our core values. It's the first one. It's the biggest one. We follow Jesus. And you need Jesus. Why? Because doing any of what I just described, that is a process. And that requires something that's bigger and better than me. It requires something that's going to help push me to my next and best level. It's a process, and we don't necessarily like processes. But, man, doing this and helping people to grow spiritually, really helping them, that should be burning inside of us. That's the passion. That should wake us up every day thinking about, man, who is it in my family? Who is it amongst my friends? Who is it that I work with that needs the Lord, that needs to be helped, that needs to grow spiritually? We can all think, if you stop and took 2 seconds, you could think of one person just like that who needs to grow spiritually. That, man, that should burn a fire inside of us. It should make us wake up and say, Lord, man, what is it that I need to do to help somebody? What is it that I can do to bring them in and connect with them? What can I do to help somebody else to grow spiritually? That's what we should be looking at. Because there's a reason. But you have to have patience. Why? Because people will get on, man, they'll get on your last nerve. So as passionate as you are, man, you need some patience to deal with them once you start connecting with them. Y'all really quiet on me today, right? And this is the thing, Mike, like we talked about Jesus, and look, we always like to think that Jesus kind of had it easy, right, when it came to his crew, his disciples. But if you think about it, his whole crew, the disciples that were around him, you have men, right, in the age of approximately probably 15 to 25, in that age range. These are people that he has to deal with on a daily basis and explain things to. Men between the ages of 15 and 25. That's hard for any of us, right? And if you think, start thinking about, okay, who was in Jesus' crew? You had Peter, who was a hothead. He was just loud for no reason, just to be loud and yelling at people, just an abrasive attitude, right? He's somebody that just rubbed people the wrong way. That's just who he was, right? He had some conniving money men in his crew. He had Matthew, who's a tax collector. People didn't like him just because, right? He had people like that that were in his crew. He had people that were doubters that were around him. He had Thomas, people that were doubters that were in his crew, the people that he hung out with every day that surrounded him. He even had haters. He had a Judas. Sometimes we think that our crews are going to be perfect, that they're going to be perfect people. But sometimes you're going to have some abrasive people that are going to, man, they're going to get on, they, man, you got to have some patience for them. You're going to have some money-grubbing people that are going to be around you. You're going to have some people that are going to doubt the stuff that God has told you to do and in your life that are connected to you. And you're going to have some people that just straight hate what you're doing. And they will devise schemes to tear you down. You're going to have some Judases that are going to come and that are going to be in your crew. They're going to be around you. And so the question is, what are you going to do? What do you need? I'm saying you're going to need some patience to deal with those people. You're just going to need it. Jesus had to deal with people in his crew. And here's what he did. He didn't try to make them anything that they were not. But you know what he did? He met them right where they were. So right in the place where they were kind of messed up and jacked up, man, he dealt with them right there. Let me show you how. Romans 15:1-3 says, man, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. Sensitive about who they are. All the stuff we described earlier, right? And the Bible says, man, it's the failings of the weak. Right? We must not just please ourselves. That's why I need patience, because you can't just please yourself, but we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord, for even Christ didn't live to please himself. So I need patience because, man, this life being in the crew is going to require more than maybe what I have. Then, man, it's going to force me to be considerate of other people. We don't like to do that. We like to get our own way. I don't want to be considerate of somebody else. I want to do what I want to do. I want it to feel comfortable for me. If I'm feeling discomfort, then that's not something I want to be involved in. But I'm saying if we're going to be a crew, we're going to experience some discomfort. Sorry. That's why I say this for last, so you know. Do all the happy stuff before and you say the hard stuff for last, right? Man, there's going to be some discomfort in the crew. There's going to be times where you're going to rub each other the wrong way. And that's okay. Why? Because we have patience. We're told to be considerate of one another. For even Christ didn't have to live to please himself. Christ had to be patient with these people. That means that I need to be patient with some people, with my boss. Oh, Jesus, Lord, help me. I have to be patient with my kids. I have to be patient with my spouse. I have to be patient with my parents. I have to be patient with my siblings. Why? Because they're going to do, man, I know, I can count on it. It's like clockwork. They're going to do something that's going to drive me crazy. They're going to irritate me. And I need patience in those moments. I need, man, it's, and here's the thing about it, that's, you're going to encounter their weaknesses. You're going to deal with the places that they're weak in. You're not always going to deal with the stuff that is happy-go-lucky. You're going to deal with some of the stuff that's kind of ugly, right? And so because you're going to deal with that, you need some patience. We're going to need that in a crew as a church. When people come through those doors and they're not all put together, they're not dressed how we think they should dress, right? They may not act how we think they should act. They don't have the economic status that we think they should have. We have to be prepared in those moments, and we're gonna have to have some patience for them to help walk them through this process called salvation, where we help them to grow spiritually, right? And how do we do this? Philippians 2:4-5 says, "Don't look out only for your own interests." So I can't look just out for stuff that's gonna make me comfortable. I have to look out for men. How can I help them grow further? I have to take an interest in others and what's going on in their lives. And there's a part, I have to have the same attitude that Christ had. Why can I do this? Man, Christ had to have this attitude. He had to consistently deal with people that thought differently, dressed differently, acted differently than a rabbi in his day did. Man, and that required him to have something that was extraordinary, and that was some patience. Because, man, if I was Jesus, I'm going to tell you, I might be a little bit like Thanos and just snap and take some. Can I just be honest? Because there's some days, man, we go to the DMV and we want to be just like Thanos and just, man, the line's taking too long and there's people in front of you just want to, and they just kind of fade away, right? We have to have patience in those moments. I'm being real today. I'm sorry. Y'all getting the real cap today. I'll have to fake the phone for y'all, right? We have to have patience because Christ had it. And here's the thing, man, the crew is a way that I can begin to use my strength, my gifting and my calling to help someone in their weaknesses. So those things that might aggravate me, God may have gifted me with what they need to grow. He might have gifted me with exactly, man, maybe you're the person that can show them, hey, maybe you might try this outfit in a loving way. Or, man, maybe you know what? Man, you know what? I'm really great at budgets. Maybe I can help you kind of turn some of this stuff. Come on now, right? There's something that may be in you that you can help that next person out. You know what? Man, they're hiring at my job. I know, man, you've been out of work for a while. Man, maybe you could apply here. There's so many things that we could do to begin to develop the crew, to begin to develop people that are around us. And here's the thing. If you have accepted Christ, you're in the crew. You're in it. If you've accepted Christ saying, Lord, you're my Savior, you're in the crew, which means that you have some crew responsibilities. You're going to have to swab some decks, right? You're going to have to help some people out. And as a crew, I'm saying, man, we should begin to extend the community, to extend ourselves to other people to say, hey, come on in. I want to invite my friends and my family and my neighbors into a relationship with Christ. I want them to experience him. I want them to connect and have a relationship with him outside of me. I want them to know Christ. So we need to be ready and equipped to work on what's going on in their lives. When they start coming into our lives, when you start inviting those people in, and inevitably they're going to start working your nerves because you know all the stuff about them, you're going to need patience in those moments. You're going to have to be ready and working on that stuff now so that we're ready to help them reach their dreams and help them reach their goals as they pursue a standard in Christ. That's our job. So, you know what? But it should also be a place where we can find some genuine fellowship and support, that they'll begin to say, you know what? Maybe there's some strengths that they have that are your weaknesses. Maybe there's some stuff that they're strong at that you might be weak in, and you have to be willing to say, okay, maybe I can hear what they have to say about my life. There's a give and take that's there, right? There's something that I'm reaching and connecting with them as well. And so here's the thing, man, our crew should be filled with familiar faces. As we're connecting with our coworkers and our neighbors and with our friends, there should be some familiar faces. But here's the thing, with familiarity comes discomfort. As you start to bring people that are close to you, that's going to bring some discomfort. You see empty chairs in the room right now? Those should be filled with people that you're familiar with. And no, be prepared that there's going to be maybe some discomfort that comes from inviting them, but invite them anyway. Why? Because you're a part of the crew. It's your job to help somebody else grow, to help somebody else reach their potential, what God has called them to do. It's our job to do that. So how do we begin to remedy some of the things that cause us frustration? How do we get to a place where we're not complaining? What is it that we can do in the times where familiarity can breed discomfort? Ephesians 4:31 tells us to get rid of all bitterness, get rid of all the rage and the anger and the harsh words and the slander, the things that we might say or hold against other people, especially those people that we know. Why? Because we know their dirt. Right, and when they come in the doors, and you should be inviting them, when they come to the doors, they're going to need to encounter you, who is going to be patient with them. I know it's a hard message. I'm sorry. Oh, nah, you're right. Instead, what does it tell us to do? Man, I'm sorry, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. I'll let you fill in the blank there of what you do on your own time, right? Instead, what does it tell us to do? Ephesians 4:31. It tells us to be kind to each other, to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Just what it's going to take for us to endure the process of spiritual growth, right? In spiritual growth, we're going to encounter that. It's going to take all that stuff of being able to set that stuff aside so that we can help somebody else out. We want to welcome people into the crew, right? We don't want it to be an experience where we're kind of jumping people in to the crew, right? That's when, I don't know, I'm giving y'all some gang terminology right there if you didn't know. What happens when people join gangs is that you get jumped in, pretty much where you get beat up to get into the crew. But that's what happens at a lot of churches, right? It's almost like you have to get beat up to work in kids' ministry. You have to get beat up, man, to serve somewhere. You have to get beat up to even sit on a particular row because that's my seat. That's my row. I'm saying I don't want people feeling like they're getting jumped into City Heart. I want to feel like when they walk through the doors that we're coming at them with open arms saying, hey, welcome. We're glad you're here. Man, there's a spot for you here. Man, we're trying to show you some love. Man, we want you to know that God loves you. And how do we do that? Romans 15:5, almost done. It says this, says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind. How are we going to be patient with people? It's patience is this. It's endurance and encouragement. Because I got to endure all the stuff that I know is going to drive me crazy. And I have to be willing to encourage in those moments to for the better part of myself and the better part of them to encourage them. So I have to have the same attitude that Christ had. I have to go beyond who I am, right? So, and we have to do that with one mind and with one voice that we may glorify the Lord. So when people come in, there can't be any of us that are kind of mean and evil to people and there's, you know, and everybody else is trying to be nice. We all have to say, you know what, man, I'm going to do my part to connect with people. I'm going to do my part, man, to show people patience and grace. Why? Because somebody did it for you. Somebody was patient and gracious with you. Somebody, man, took the time to kind of sit down with you and kind of help you work out some stuff. Hey, they kind of pulled you aside. That's a great way to do it. To the side where nobody's talking. You know what? This might be kind of annoying to people. Right? And we that's the way that we encounter people. And here's the thing. It's the same thing that Christ did for us. Right? It says, accept one another then as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. There was patience that was extended to us. There was community that was extended to us. And so we should be doing that for somebody else. The patience of God was put on full display when Christ went to the cross. Why should I do it, man? Because, man, God did it. Christ went first. He went to the cross. Why? Because he was patient with me. He was patient with all my stuff, all my baggage. Knowing that I would sin, he still went to the cross. Patient with me, knowing how time after time, man, that I would sin again. That I would get caught up in the same stuff over and over again and messing up and coming back and having to ask forgiveness and then going back and messing up the same way. I know it's not just me. God showed his patience in those moments in the times that we just straight out rejected him. Man, God, I don't want to know you. Man, I don't want to be with you. I don't need that church life. I don't want to have to wake up every Sunday. Every Sunday? I mean, we rejected God, but he still showed us patience by going to the cross on our behalf, by getting beat and bruised and mocked and spit on for us. That's patience to do that, carrying a cross for us. A lot of us would have just thrown the cross off. A lot of us would have just walked away. Hey, you know what? I'm not king of the Jews. I'm not any of this stuff. Man, I was just making it all up, right? We would have done that. We would have done that. But he in those moments when he could have given in and given up, he said, no, I've got to be patient for this next person. I've got to be patient for Andrea. I've got to be patient for Keith. I've got to be patient for Jamar. Help us, Jesus. I've got to be patient for these people. Why? Because one day they're going to wake up to the fact that they need me. One day they're going to realize, man, I can't do this stuff by myself. That I can't make it alone. I can't do it. One day, people give up. And I can think of these people this week who probably had a moment where they were just wondering, what's in this world for me? And they had nobody to turn to. But God is patient with us. He sent his son for us. He cared so much about us in our wishy-washiness, in our messed up state. And he still calls out to us. He still desires to be in a relationship with us. Somehow he is still patient with us time after time. And he's waiting for us with endurance and encouragement in the most tough situations. He's waiting there without complaint. He went to the cross without complaining through the ultimate discomfort, being nailed to a cross. That's discomfort. Carrying our sins, that's discomfort. And he did it without complaining. And all that he's asking us to do is to take his same attitude and apply it to the next person. He's saying, man, there's going to be somebody else that's going to walk through those doors. And they're going to be just as messed up as you were. They're going to sin just the way that you did. They're going to lie just the way that you did. They're going to reject me just the way that you did. In those moments, I'm asking you to reflect my same attitude, my same grace, my same forgiveness, my same patience, and bring them in. Draw them into the life that is community. Let them know that they are loved and accepted, even in all their flaws, that there is a place in God that they have, that they can know Jesus Christ, that they don't have to be alone, they don't have to be isolated, that their sins will be forgiven, that, man, that, and you know what, we'll even further, that they can then begin to extend that to somebody else, and the cycle goes on again. That's why we do church. This is why I'm so passionate about it. This is why it burns inside of me. This is why I wake up every weekend on a Saturday. Why I don't get a day off and I don't care. You know why? Because there's going to be one more person that's going to come through that door that just needs to know that God loves them. And it matters. That is enough for me. It's enough in the times where I might be tired to keep on going. Why? Because there's somebody else that I know. There's somebody on my job that's going, man, they need Jesus. They're going to face a suicide moment. They're going to face, man, I'm just giving up moment. They're going to face, man, I might as well just go ahead and do this stuff that I know is wrong. They're going to face those moments. And it's at that time when it's my job, it's our job to invite them into the community and say, look, hey, won't you come to small group with me? Man, I know you've been having a tough time, but man, this is a group of girls, man. They're really fun. They just like to hang, man. We just want to encourage you. Why don't you just come by, man? Just come get, man. We got snacks and everything. Just come by and connect, man. There's this group of dudes, man. They can't play ball really well, but they have a lot of fun and they sweat, man. You should just come, man. Just come and hoop. Man, these guys, man, they get together and they laugh half the time, but you know what? At the end of the day, we learn at least one thing in small group. And it's enough. Man, come with me on Sunday. Man, just come here. This crazy black dude. Y'all pray for him. But man, he's every once in a while he has a point that makes some relevant sense. Every once in a good while. And they need that. They need that from us. Man, we are the crew. We are the crew. Man, I want to get like a crew gang tat or something. Like, I'm down for the crew. Man, this is like the most important thing that we get to do is we get to extend life to other people. Do you understand that? The importance of what God did for us is that we get to do it for somebody else. That's why the word says, man, if we kind of flipped it around, it says, may the God who gives you patience, his patience, who is waiting for you to get your life together without complaint, give you the same attitude of mind towards someone else, to bring someone else, bring more people into the crew. I'll end with this. Romans 14, 9 to 11, we read it earlier. It says, Christ died and rose again for this very purpose. This is why he did it. To be Lord for both the living and the dead. And you know what? Man, why would I stand here and condemn somebody else? Why would I condemn another believer? Why would I look down at somebody else in their situation? one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of, before the judgment seat of God. He's going to judge us all. And I want to make sure that when I stand there and he kind of rolls that footage, right? I feel like there's going to be like a DVD player or something that he's gonna like kind of roll through life. I feel like when he presses play, I want there to be at least a moment where I extended some patience to somebody else, where I brought somebody else into the crew, and I helped them experience life in the community. We're going to be the crew, and I'm saying we are the crew. We're going to have some patience. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.